Would you characterize your life as one of praise? How do you respond to adversity? We're going to be looking, turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 30. And this is, the Psalms are what are considered wisdom literature. So it has to be read in the context of God's covenant, our God's law, and godly people who live in obedience, if you will, to that covenant. So this, you know, Psalms are not just a pretty bunch of bumper stickers. This has some deeper meaning that we should pick up on. And some definitions you've heard me use before, but knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Knowledge, knowing the facts. Google, the internet, is good with lots of facts, but understanding is being able to take those facts and make them stick together, organize them in a coherent picture of reality. And then wisdom ultimately comes from, as Christians, understanding the facts of God's word and living according to that understanding. In fact, the Hebrew word for wisdom, you've heard me say, I'm a German, so I like saying Chokmah. You got to clear your throat a little like the Germans. But Chokmah, you are wisdom. In fact, Proverbs 9:10, you know, Proverbs are wisdom literature. But a familiar verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So in Psalm 30, if you look at it, the prescripts to the Psalms are good, some good historical knowledge. They are not part of God's inerrant word, but they can give us some good background. And this is a Psalm of David, and it would be considered an individual David, thanksgiving, that then, because of what it talks about, the dedication of David's house, it's going to be nationalized, one professor said, where, you know, King David, what's going on in whatever circumstance in his personal life later became used for the dedication of the temple and after Antiochus Epiphanes, who was the set up the abomination of desolations in Daniel chapter 11. When they rededicated the Feast of Hanukkah, is named after that dedication. So it became used, even it's read during Hanukkah today in Judaism. So it talks mainly about David's praise, and we'll see verse 1 and down in verse, you know, towards the end, praising. David talks a lot about praise. And, you know, then he talks about his past suffering and God's restoration. Always centered on God, his glory, and the praise of him. And that's a good lesson for all of us in the midst of real life. And so now just an outline from one of my professors just to sort of organize this. But verses 1 to 3 deals with the praise of the Lord. Psalm 30, verse 1 to 3. I will extol you, praise you, O Lord, for you have, and notice what he has done. There's a list of things. You have lifted me up. Some of you, if you have the NIV, it adds, out of the depths of Sheol, the grave, death. You've lifted me up, the words used for drawing up water, but you have lifted me up and have not let my foes, my enemies, rejoice over me. Now, one thing with David is, yes, it's personal. You know, the foes aren't rejoicing over me, but David is not so much concerned with himself as, you know, I'm David, I'm the king. When they are rejoicing over me, Lord, they are blaspheming your name. So David identifies with God. So it's not me, me, me. It's your glory, God. So you've not let my foes rejoice. And we'll see a similar word later. Verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. You know, you think of like a grave. And so God, David is praising the Lord with a commitment to praise. And then he's going back on what God has done by his grace, lifting me, restoring me, all those things. Then verses 4-7, the holiness of the Lord, as seen by God's discipline, his anger at sin, and then his restoration, his grace, that we, you know, discipline our lives. How do we respond when things aren't going so good? And do we recognize behind it all is God's loving grace? So verse 4, now David, you know, that's not only king, but, you know, what starts off personally, he now invites the nation, the church, we might say, to praise, go along with them. So verse 4, so you, all you people, sing praise to the Lord, you saints, the Hebrew root word there is you holy ones of his. We are saints, not because we're good people, but because we are his. We are his saints. And give thanks at the remembrance. A lot of your translations omit that. But remembering his holy name. You know, how often do we remember God's holiness, his name? David has used that. Most of your translations will say, O Lord, all capitalized. That's the covenant name of God. So you, personal covenant loyalty, like we said in the background, my God, you know, I have a personal relationship with you. Do I remember that? Do we remember that in the midst of our prayers and our concerns? We'll talk more about this, but are we more concerned about us than about what God is doing and his glory in the midst of the good, the bad, the ugly? So then verse 5, he gives some of the basis. And notice the contrast. For his anger is but for a moment. You know, anger moment. But his favor, his blessing is for life. You know, when we look at our lives and things go bad, you know, oh, God is punishing me. Woe is me. This can't get any worse. Well, maybe we need a little discipline, and it's for a moment. God's grace, his favor, is for eternity if you are a Christian. You know, or in David's case, a member of the covenant. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I love that. You know, how many of us, when we go to bed, you know, we start thinking about the troubles of the day and what I've got to do tomorrow. And we can't sleep and we're restless. And then we get the drugs that Marilee has and we go right to sleep. But then in the morning, the sun came up. Guess what? It's not all over. Now, verses 6 and 7 then, David sort of repeats, and St. Augustine was famously said once, the psalmist, those guys that wrote the Psalms, they like to repeat themselves. Well, when we're talking about God's grace, do we remember his name? Do we repeat ourselves? We repeat that which is important. So verses 6 and 7, now in my prosperity, the construction is that, when things were going good, and based on attitude, is David thinking the negative side would be, boy, things were going good, and I'm pretty proud of myself. Or David, the proper attitude is, during the good times in our life, do we credit God for that? Or are we, when things are good, it's us. When things are bad, oh God, save me. So now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be shaken or moved. And like I said, that's how we look at that, is all based on our attitude. Lord, Yahweh is, when it's all caps, it's Yahweh, the covenant name. By your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. Poetic language, but like Luther, a mighty fortress is our God, the strength of the Rocky Mountains. That's how firm we are in the covenant with God. And when things were going good, I recognized, Lord, you have made my mountain strong. But then, the end of verse 7, you hid your face, sort of a picture of your presence, seemingly God was hiding, and I was troubled, which that's a Hebrew idiom for removing blessing and protection. So things were going great. Hopefully we recognize the reality. They go good because of God. But then when God hides his face, discipline, we live in a fallen world. Do we recognize, or are we troubled in the sense of recognizing that is the favor of God? And as Christians, there's more to the story for us that ultimately, hopefully, we see the end of all this. So what is the purpose of this trouble? Is life over? I give up. I renounce my faith. Or do we understand God's faithfulness? Faithful praise is the name of the sermon. Do we recognize God's faithfulness? And look at, like Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And then verses 8 to 12, we're back to the praise of the Lord. So I cried out to you, O Yahweh, and to Yahweh I made my prayer, my supplication. And when he's down towards the pit, now he's remembering this again. What profit is there in my blood? NIV, actually, just for my knowledge, how many of you use the NIV? I want to talk to you afterwards. No, but the NIV is, and our pew Bibles are NIV, but the NIV has, I will not be silenced, but, sort of the idea of in my death. So now David is, not complaining to God, but he's saying, now, so in my death or in my blood, what profit is there when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. It's almost, it sounds sort of funny maybe to us, but God, if you let my enemies overwhelm me and I go down to the pit and dead, you're going to lose a worshiper. It's not about my life. It's about your praise. And of course, we know the rocks and stones can cry out if need be, but David is It's, you know, I'm not so concerned about me, but it's, you know, declaring your glory, your praise. Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. Verse 11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Now, this is one error in the Bible. That word can, like we talked about earlier, that word can actually, no. Now, in a little teachable moment with humor, God's word says, the word means dancing. So I have to change my view. Well, but I'm a typical American. I will make the Bible say what I want it to say, like all you people do. So, no, but look at the picture. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. And you can think of David's past life when they were bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. David was dancing, and Saul's daughter, whose name was probably Ditra, was disgusted at the dancing. Oh, that's all in the margins. You have put off my sackcloth, you know, working clothes, but a sign of repenting, dust and sackcloth, and clothed me with gladness. That's the same root word as, you know, the foes are going to rejoice, be glad over me. Well, God, you are giving me the clothes of gladness so I can go dance. Verse 12, to the end that most of our translations say my, and if you have the New King James, or some will put it in italics, but the my is not there in the Greek text, Hebrew text. So to the end that, literally the word is glory. A lot of translations translate that soul or heart, but the word is glory. To the end that glory, God's glory, may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Yahweh, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So you, sort of that's called a chiasm, but it starts off the praise, you know, reminds, it talks about, you know, God's discipline, grace, anger, favor, and then he ends with, and that's why I'm going to continue to praise you. Well, so what? So God's presence, how do we experience that? And sometimes our perception can be, which perceptions are centered on us. Oh God, I don't feel loved. I feel like you're not getting me the color Cadillac I want. You know, me, versus the reality, which is centered on God's chesed, covenant faithfulness. So in the midst of adversity, you know, do we let our feelings dictate how we respond to God, or do we trust in his word and our understanding of who God is? And that's a good lesson for all of us. And so do you praise God in good times and in bad times? You know, that's interesting. Sometimes some people, when things are going good, you know, they're, thank you, Lord, thank you. But then when they go bad, don't worry, God, I got this. And, you know, and then we start worrying and stressing. And that's what David is saying. God should be at the center of this all the time. Does our sorrow lead to joy? In other words, recognizing, boy, when you take your favor off me, God, I don't feel your presence, but then it's restored. Do we then sort of more appreciate the blessing, the favor, the presence of the Lord? where do you derive your security? You know, as Americans, a lot of sermons on, you know, bank accounts, all that stuff, health, all the things. You know, do we take that as the only sign of God's blessing? Well, guess what? We live in a fallen world. Maybe we can learn some things from that. And those contrasts in verse 5 that I mentioned, you know, when it's up and down, the, here's a good word for you. Mary Lee, explain this one to Lee, please. Vicissitudes, the vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs, you know, how do we handle those? For example, Paul, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The writer to Hebrews says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So for us, are we more about praising God and recognizing His goodness in all circumstances, or are we more about what God can do for us, requests? You know, that's, and just illustration, you know, at the beginning of our service, do we have more requests? Do we have more praises? What are we focused on? The Lord's Prayer, it covers both, of course, but it starts off, our Father, intimate Father, who art in heaven, He is transcendent, holy, other, hallowed be thy name. So it starts off with the proper sense of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not mine, thine, on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us this daily, you know, there are needs, things we have, but what is the focus in our minds when we pray? Isaiah 25:1, O Yahweh, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And all of it is to God's glory. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise you for your word, for your faithfulness, for your covenant loyalty, and help us to be more consumed with your glory than our situations and needs and ourselves. Thank you that you did love us enough for your purposes to send Jesus, God the Son, because of your love, your grace, your mercy. You sent Jesus to die on our behalf to the praise of your glory, so that it not be about us at all, but for your sake. And we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.